Happy Saturday and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan podcast. It is November 12th and I'm so excited to be reading with you today. Although in 1 Samuel it's not a super exciting read, remember we've been talking about Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, who are priests, and how evil and wicked they were. And in yesterday's reading, they died in a battle where they had taken the Ark of the Covenant with them as some kind of good luck charm, as if God's presence was going to be with them when they lacked obedience and they sinned in His face. And so they die in battle. And today in the reading in 1 Samuel 4, starting in verse 12, Eli's going to hear about it, and he has quite the interesting death as well. Spoiler alert. Okay, starting in verse 12. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared that for the ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked, "What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes had failed so that he could not see. He told Eli, "I have just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "What happened, my son?" The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man, and he was heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the women attending her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay any attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." You might remember when we were in the book of Exodus that the Ark of God was in the Holy of Holies and it represented God's presence. And above it, there were two cherubim and it was almost like a throne, a mercy seat, a place where the high priest would come in once a year to sacrifice and to ask for forgiveness for the sins of the people. And this ark became a symbol of God's presence. It held the manna, it held the budding rod of Aaron, and maybe one more thing. Anyway, it signified that God was with the people. And when it was captured, everyone was overcome with grief because they knew that God was displeased with the nation and that His glory, His presence, was not with them in that time. We'll look forward tomorrow hearing more about what happens when the Ark of God is in Philistine territory. Let's move over to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 12. Remember to turn on over to the New Living Translation. If you're looking on the website, you can toggle and make that change. This is for the choir director, a Psalm of David, to be accompanied by an 8-stringed instrument. Help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful have vanished from the earth. Neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts. May the Lord cut off their flattering lips and silence their boastful tongues. They say, "We will lie to our heart's content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us?" The Lord replies, "I have seen violence done to the helpless, and I have heard the groans of the poor. Now I will rise up to rescue them, as they have longed for me to do." The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. Therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation, even though the wicked strut about and evil is praised throughout the land. As we were reading that psalm, I couldn't help but think about our partner in ministry, Ann Peyton Baker, and her work with Kids Alive in the Dominican Republic, where she is working alongside orphans and those whose families have, for whatever reason, not been able to take care of them. And I want to pray verse 7 as a promise for them. "Therefore, Lord, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation." Let's move on over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased.' Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I have come to do your will, my God.' First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' Then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Can I just say thank you, Lord, that we do not have to bear the guilt of our sins any longer, that we can bring them to you, and that we can have confidence that you have cleansed our sins and your covenant love for us is never failing. I'm going to read for us an excerpt from the Diary of Private Prayer. This is from the 9th day. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, take this life's day into your keeping. Control all my thoughts and feelings. Direct all my energies. Instruct my mind. Sustain my will. Take my hands and make them skillful to serve thee. Take my feet and make them swift to do thy bidding. Take my eyes and keep them fixed upon your everlasting beauty. Take my mouth and make it eloquent in testimony of your love. Make this day a day of obedience, a day of spiritual joy and peace. May this day's work be a little part of the work of the kingdom of my Lord Christ, in whose name my prayers are said. Amen.